Want to get to know a U.S. soldier? Want to know what inspires a Marine? Try listening to their iPods.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor!
You're listening to Drowning Pool. The band, along with other heavy metal groups like Metallica and Slayer and the hardcore rap of Eminem and Little John, can be found on most GI's MP3 players. Jonathan Pieslak calls it the soundtrack to war. He's the author of Sound Targets, American Soldiers and the Music in the Iraq War. He says the music has come to mean a lot to U.S. soldiers deployed in Iraq.
Music will operate typically as an inspiration for combat. And occasionally, when they actually are in their Strikers, their tanks, their Bradleys, you know, these types of vehicles, because what you can do is take either an MP3 player or a portable laptop and hook it up within the communication systems of tanks. And so what some of these guys did, particularly during the initial invasion in 2003, is they would hook their portable CD players up and have music going within the communication systems of their tanks, within their helmets, as they were literally, you know, rolling down the street to Baghdad.
And I'm curious about that. What kind of music? Can you give me an example of what they might do with the music before they go out?
Oh, yeah. I mean, for example, they may either listen individually or as a group to groups like Slayer, Metallica. Drowning Pool's Bodies was a big one. Any of those types of sort of really hardcore heavy metal. Another genre that's very popular is gangster rap. So Eminem was big. Little John was big. Any of those guys, DMX, you know, some of these other gangster rappers. A lot of these people were very popular. And in fact, soldiers would adopt specific anthems or songs that would function as their anthem during specific phases. So, for instance, one sergeant was describing to me that Metallica was big when they first started. So, like, they would listen to Metallica's One, and that would be sort of their initial song that they all would have as an anthem. And then when they got to Fallujah, they changed it up, and they would use Eminem's Go to Sleep.
War is so ugly and disgusting, and it's very inhuman. It's an inhuman thing. It's unnatural for people to kill people. It's something that no one should ever have to do. Unfortunately, someone does. And we happen to be that someone sometimes. And so listening to music would artificially make you aggressive when you needed to be aggressive. If you knew you were going out and you were going to get shot at, you know, you didn't want to go out there thinking everything's hunky-dory. And, you know, you had to go out there with an aggressive mindset, hoping that you wouldn't have to use that aggression. Finally, you have to kind of get yourself into that mentality that, you know what, I'm going to have to shoot at someone today, so might as well get pumped up for it. So that Eminem song, Go to Sleep, when we got to Fallujah, was kind of our anthem. And before every mission, we'd blare that, you know, and we'd all kind of, you know, scream the lyrics out. And it's a very negative song. And I'm almost even embarrassed to say it was our theme song, but hey, that's what happens in war. You've got to become inhuman to do inhuman things.
So go to sleep. Die, motherfucker, die. Time's up. Close your eyes. Go to sleep. Why are you still alive? How many times I gotta say close your eyes? Go to sleep.
I'm curious. The way you describe it, it sounds as though this is all internal to the vehicle.
Yes.
This is to goose them up, to ramp them up for the combat that they're going to get into. This isn't like the scene from a movie where there's a speaker on the top of the tank that's blaring out music.
Right. Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, there's a famous scene from Apocalypse Now in which Wagner's Ride is played from a helicopter right before an attack. In the majority of cases, it's played internally. But interestingly enough, there was one tank crew that played that music exactly like the scene on the outside of their tank.
The Ride of the Valkyries blaring
absolutely.
Out from the tank?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Wow. Where were they?
They were on the road to Baghdad. What they did is they were on what's called a thunder run. And a thunder run is a term from the Vietnam era that describes when a group of vehicles would fight very aggressively into an area. And they would actually then pull back out. It was sort of a show of force, kind of like saying to the enemy, okay, we're going to fight very strongly into your home, and then we're just going to pull out just to show you that we can do it. And during one of these thunder runs into Baghdad, the guys actually did, in fact, play Wagner's Ride on the Outside, very much like the scene from the movie.
So we went in, and it was just heavy fighting. I mean, RPGs left and right. It was, we lost, I think, three guys that first, the first thunder run we did. I mean, there were just Iraqi bodies just thrown on the side of the road. Army, Saddam Fedayeen, you know, people shooting, trying to drive up car bombs on us. And it was literally like a gauntlet that we were driving through.
Are they allowed to do that? I mean, can they modify their vehicles? The brass gives them permission to do this?
Higher up on the chain of command, they probably would say that they're not supposed to. And, you know, I think that there have been lots of concerns about whether, you know, they're able to hear properly enough when they're listening to music, you know, in their vehicles as they're out on raids or missions. But it seems to me to be something that if the tank commander or the local level chain of command feels that this is okay, then it's all right.
So, you know, what's bothering me in the back of my mind, I have to admit, is you talk about the way they ramp themselves up. They listen to this music, they get all sort of goosed up for it. And it is almost as though when they go out and they're blaring this music, whether it's in their headphones or on the speakers, it's almost like they're inside a video game. Doesn't that take some of the reality of what they're doing away?
I think it does. I mean, I think we have to watch out with drawing too much of a parallel to video games. I think the first thing is that across the board, at least with the soldiers that I interviewed, all of them said that the music and everything stops when you actually engage in combat. And it was funny because I asked them, you know, does the music continue to roll when you get in a firefight? And they said, yeah, the music's there, but it's not in their ears. And for some reason, it just tunes out. And then many of them, when I followed up and talked about the video game analogy, said that war is very unlike a video game. And many of them said, you know, I had this perspective going in that, you know, hey, when you actually shoot someone, that they fall and they die. And that's not what happens. And so I think for some of them, they kind of had an awakening over there that what truly happens in war is not what we see portrayed in video games, not what we see portrayed on television or the movies. That it's a very different thing.
Wow. So it's not, I mean, that sort of changes that whole image, doesn't it? It's not them sitting there with Metallica blaring in the background while they play a first-person shooter.
Right. Absolutely. And if they're going out and there's the possibility that someone's going to shoot at them, they need to put themselves in that type of psychological state that they're able to respond. And I think that the music, In some cases, again, you know, I think for some guys it may just sort of be a, yeah, I'm ready to play soldier today. But for other guys, you know, I think that there really is a deep personal relationship going on with that music, and it puts them in a mental state where they're able to do what they need to do. Interestingly enough, some guys have talked about how now that they're back stateside, they can't listen to that music anymore. They don't want to listen to those songs because it puts them in a place where they don't want to be.
Right about when we're about to go out on a raid or a mission or something, I'd listen to Slayer and stuff to get all, you know, into it and stuff. And you know, it's kind of a surreal experience listening to Slayer out there. You know, it's kind of like the explosions and the machine guns, like in the shooting that's going on. That's the music. You know, and it's kind of like listening to Slayer, you know, it's ba-da-ba-da, you know, like that sort of shit, you know. I mean, listening to a 240 fire off rounds or a tow missile hit, something, I mean, that's music to your ears.
Is this something you think the military could research, could take advantage of? I mean, can you see MP3 players being distributed with preset playlists in them?
I don't know about preset playlists, but I could certainly see an MP3 player becoming, you know, part of the standard military equipment issues. You know, one of the guys told me that he thought that the military ought to issue an MP3 player to every soldier, and that, you know, along with your M16, you should get a, you know, iPod. So, I mean, that's, and I think what that shows is that just how strongly he felt music was an important role in his life, that it was just as important as his weapon. I don't know if they'll develop official playlists, but I think that, it plays a very important role in morale and in people's just psychological conditions while at war. So I think it just really speaks to the power that music can have on the human condition.
Jonathan Pieslak is the author of Sound Targets, American Soldiers and the Music in the Iraq War.
One time in Christmas, we were Samara, and one of the guys ordered Chipmunk's Christmas CD, where it's like Alvin Simon Theodore singing Christmas carols. And he put that in the CD player in the vehicle, and I couldn't take it. I like turned that off. I can't stand that because we'd be listening to it for hours and hours. And he got a big kick out of it, and like so did the guy that was in the TC thing, you know, around Iraq listening to Chipmunk's Christmas. But like, yeah, you know, you're screwed if you don't like what the point is.